Okay, I'm so sorry for all the technical glitches. Sorry. Okay, now we can start. I hope you're all able to hear me on both the devices. And we can start the call now. So today we are reading from Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and today is session 17. So Brihad Bhagavatamrita is the nectar of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it was spoken by Srila Sanatana Goswami. He was inspired by the deities of Radha Madan. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्गायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं नमा ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते राधानाथस्वामिन्नति नाम्ने नमा ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन्निति नाम्ने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यरे शतारिणे जय श्री कृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील सनातन गोस्वामी सो वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग टू रीड फ्रॉम श्री बृहद भागवतामृता टुडे इज सेशन 17 एंड दिस इन पार्ट वन ऑफ द बुक ऑफ बृहद भागवतामृता वी हैव नारद मुनि विजिटिंग डिफरेंट डिवोटीज एंड इन आवर प्रीवियस सेशन वी सॉ दैट हाउ नारद मुनि ही वेंट टू हस्तिनापुर And there he met the Pandavas, and the Pandavas very, very lovingly, they welcomed Narada Muni. Narada Muni began his beautiful glorification of the Pandavas as he heard it from Hanuman. And as he went on to glorify the Pandavas, Narada Muni, he got distracted and he began to glorify his most worshipable Lord Sri Krishna. So he went on and on and glorified his most beloved Lord, and he was speaking about the special glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all incarnations, Lord Sri Krishna. He began to speak and he was talking about how specially merciful Lord Sri Krishna is, and how he delivered all the demons, and how each and every devotee was benefited during the presence of Krishna. So like this, he went on speaking and he went on speaking and he just couldn't control himself. And at one point, he seized his tongue with his teeth like that. And he said, okay, my tongue, you're talking too much. And he began to chastise his tongue. He said, oh, my tongue, you're so greedy. You're continuously talking about the Lord. And actually, there is no limit to the greatness of your Lord. How are you going to talk? How are you going to continue to keep talking? Even Lord Anantasesh is unable to describe the glories of the Lord with his thousands of foods. Lord Brahma is not able to describe the glories of the Lord with his four tongues. Who are you? How can you describe the glories of the Lord? So then Narada Muni, to avoid discouraging his tongue, and he just wanted to be a little more merciful to his tongue. He didn't want to chastise his tongue so much. He wanted to encourage his tongue. So he gave some practical advice to his tongue. He said, oh my tongue, maybe you cannot chant the extensive glories of the Lord, but you can chant the glories of his devotees. Yes, the glories of the devotees are no less than the glories of the Lord. The glories of the Lord is unlimited, but the glories of the devotees is indescribable. It is very difficult to describe the glories of the Lord. It is very difficult to describe the glories of the devotees of the Lord. The glories of the Lord is unlimited. There is no end to it. But The devotees are human beings. You can possibly try, but still it is so unlimited. It is so indescribable. You cannot finish describing the glories of the Lord, of the devotees. So therefore, if you are not able to describe the glories of the Lord's devotees, at least you try to praise their qualities. If you are not able to praise the qualities of these wonderful devotees, then at least try to say something. Because when you speak about devotees, it is purifying. So he was telling his tongue, if you are not able to speak the glories of the Lord, speak about the devotees. The devotees' glories are indescribable. So instead, you speak about their qualities. If you are not able to speak about their qualities, then just try to say something. So, you know, he instructed his tongue like this, and he said, actually, devotees, they are so merciful. Even if you distort some accounts, if you are not able to, say properly, the devotees are so merciful, they are going to forgive you anyway. Even if you distort some accounts or if you are not able to adequately describe their glories and their wonderful deeds, still it is okay. So Narada Muni, he realized that anyhow his tongue is not going to stop. So he decided that he will describe the glories of the devotees. Then Narada Muni thought, who am I trying to talk about? I am going to talk about the Pandavas. And the Pandavas, their glories, it's so difficult to describe. They are the most wonderful devotees of the Lord. Only a shameless person will try to elaborate the greatness of the Pandavas. But still he wanted to describe that unique love that the Pandavas had towards Krishna and that special mercy that Krishna actually showed to the Pandavas. So Narada Muni, he didn't want to give up. He wanted to talk. So he told, O Pandavas, you are so fortunate. You're so fortunate. Your mother Kunti Devi, she's such a special, special devotee. So once when Krishna, he sent Akrura to Hastinapur. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. After Krishna went to Mathura and after he defeated Kamsa, he did want to meet up with some devotees, and at that time he went to Akrura's house. So when he went to Akrura's house, he told Akrura that I want a favor from you. I want you to go and visit Hastinapur. And he said, you please go visit Hastinapur, go talk to Kunti and the Pandavas, and go and give them a special message that I'm always thinking about. So go and give them this message. So Akrura, at once he left, he went to Hastinapur. He went very, very swiftly to Hastinapur and he went and spoke to Kunti saying that I'm here to give the message of Krishna. So when Kunti Maharani, she heard this most beautiful message from Krishna, it was so sweet, it was so consoling. It was simply from Krishna's heart. So when she heard this loving message from Krishna, her heart, she was plunged into an ocean of prema. So Kunti Maharani, she told Akrura, do my parents, do my brothers, my sisters, my nephews, all my friends there in from the Vrishnis, do they all remember me? Does my nephew Krishna remember me? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the reservoir of all pleasure. Is Balaram there? Does he remember me? Is he there? How is he feeling? Is he remembering me? I'm just suffering here. I'm in the midst of my enemies. It's like a doe stuck in the midst of wolves. Will Krishna come? Will he console me? Will he console my sons who are fatherless? At that time Pandu was not there. So Kunti was asking these questions to Akrura. How is my nephew feeling? Is he going to come? Is he going to come and console me? Then in her ecstasy, she just burst out and she said some very beautiful prayers. She said, Krishna Krishna Mahayogin Vishvatman Vishma Bhavana Prapannam Pahi Govinda Shishu Bishchavasidatim. She said, Krishna Krishna, O great yogi, O Supreme Soul, O Protector of the Universe, O Govinda, please protect me. We have surrendered unto you, me and my sons. We are overwhelmed by trouble all the time. So with she was in great ecstasy when she heard this message from Krishna, and she burst out and she started offering prayers to Krishna. Then she said, Nanyattava padambojat pashyami sharanam ranam bhivatyam rityu samsarat ishvarasya pavargikat. For persons fearful of death and rebirth, I see no shelter other than your liberating lotus feet. O Krishna, you are the Supreme Lord. Namah Krishnaya Shuddhaya Brahmane Paramatmane Yogeshwarya Yogaya Tvamaham Sharanam Gata. She said, I offer my obeisances unto you, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the pure absolute truth. You are the super soul. You are the Lord, and you are the Lord of pure devotional service, and you are the source of all knowledge, and I have come for your shelter. So like this, she burst out in prayers and she broke down in remembrances of Lord Krishna. So Mother Pritha, Kunti Devi, she fully trusted Krishna's protection because she was a very surrendered devotee. She had this understanding of full surrender. So it must be very carefully understood that Kunti's complaints and her expressions of anxiety were not from her materially contaminated consciousness. Rather, it was her own personal symptoms of ecstasy as she was thinking of Krishna. So Pritha's affection for her children was with the realization that they are exclusive devotees of Krishna. That was the kind of love that Mother Pritha had for her own sons. She understood the position of her own sons, that they are exclusive devotees of Krishna, so she loved them even more. And every time she asked Krishna for protection with this understanding. So Pritha, she exhibited very pure devotional service. In fact, she would even induce Krishna to stay back in Hastinapur every time Krishna visited them. So like this, she would offer very heartbreaking, heart-melting prayers to Krishna. And somehow or the other, she would force Krishna to stay back. So when you read prayers like these, when you read prayers from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, prayers of Queen Kunti, everyone's heart will be moved. So obviously, when Krishna used to hear such heart-melting prayers, Krishna would stay back in Hastinapur for some more time. Krishna is actually the Lord of Dwaraka. He's Yadu Jivana. He's the Lord of the Yadus. But still, Kunti Devi would envelop him with such grief-stricken prayers, asking Krishna to stay back for even more time. So Krishna, he took always very good special care of the Pandavas, and he always wanted to establish the reputation of the Pandavas. So he encouraged Yudhishthir Maharaj to perform the Rajasuya Yajna. He helped Bhima to dispose of Jarasandha, and he made Arjuna renowned in this entire world for his Sakya to Krishna. So when you think of a person who had very good friendship with Krishna, obviously the very first person that would come to our mind is Arjuna. So he made Arjuna not only as a famous archer, but also Arjuna was renowned for his friendship with Krishna. And what about Nakula and Sahadev? Nakula and Sahadev, they were always fixed in pure love for Krishna. Because you remember during the Rajasuya Yajna, what happened? Nakula, Sahadev, they very clearly told, the first honor should be given to Krishna. Krishna should be worshipped first. So like that, all the brothers, they were always absorbed in love for Krishna. What to talk of the brothers? Your wife Draupadi. We all know the Sharanagati of Draupadi. Draupadi would often be referred by Krishna as Priya Sakhi. He honored her as a very good friend. So he would often call Draupadi as Priya Sakhi. And during the Rajasuya Yajna of Yudhishthir Maharaj, Krishna, with his own loving hands, very lovingly, he sprinkled the water from the sacred, sanctified pot on Draupadi's hair. He took that service of sprinkling the water from the ritual vessel that is sanctified with mantras. So for the queen, he personally did it. Krishna personally sprinkled the water on her head. And then when Dushasan disrobed her, She took exclusive shelter of Krishna. When she called out to Krishna, Krishna just appeared in the form of a sari. He sent the sari immediately and she was protected. And later, Dushyasana and his friends, they were defeated in the battle by the mercy of Krishna. So, the Lord always protected Draupadi. Not only did he protect the Pandavas, but he always considered Draupadi as a very good friend and he always made sure that she was protected. Not only was her chastity protected, not only was she protected from the hands of the Kauravas, but also during frightening situations like when Durvasa actually visited Draupadi and the Pandavas in the forest. Even during that time, it was Krishna who came to the shelter of Draupadi. So this is a very beautiful pastime that is described in the Mahabharata. And Srila Prabhupada has taken great efforts to write it down in a purport, very beautiful purport of Srimad Bhagavatam. It appears in the first canto, if I'm not wrong. So Srila Prabhupada writes that Durvasa Muni, he had 10,000 disciples. And wherever Durvasa Muni went, he would become the guest of great, great Kshatriyas. And wherever he went, he would be accompanied by thousands of followers. So like that, once he visited the house of Duryodhan, accompanied by all the followers. So when he visited this house of Duryodhan, who is the enemy cousin of Maharaj Yudhishthir, Duryodhana was very intelligent enough to satisfy this Brahmana and this great Rishi, because he was so well satisfied by Duryodhan, he wanted to give a good benediction to Duryodhan. Because he was very satisfied with the way Duryodhan received him and with the way Duryodhan arranged for an elaborate feast. Now, when Duryodhan was told like this by Durvasa Muni, you can ask for any benediction. Duryodhan thought, with this mystic powers of Durvasa, he can do anything. So he thought that if the same Durvasa becomes dissatisfied with his mystic powers, he can even cause some heva. So what did he do? He made a master plan to somehow make Durvasa show his wrath upon his cousins who were the Pandavas. So Duryodhan told Durvasa Muni, I want a benediction from you that you should go and visit the Pandavas in the forest. And specifically, he requested Durvasa Muni in such a way that Durvasa Muni would go after the Pandavas finished having their meals. Especially after Queen Draupadi finished her meals. Now, what is the master plan all about? Draupadi in the forest, she had a mystic pot, Akshaya Patra. So you might have all heard the story. She was blessed by the sun god to get unlimited food from that pot. So the plan by Duryodhan was that Durvasa should go after Draupadi finishes eating. Now, the rule of that pot was that once Draupadi finished her lunch, after the last morsel of food was eaten by Draupadi, this mystic pot would stop giving any more food. So Duryodhan knew this very well. So he thought that if this Durvasa goes after Draupadi's meals, it will be impossible for Maharaj Yudhishthir to actually receive such a large number of Brahmana guests, and Durvasa would become very angry and he will create some trouble for his cousin Yudhishthira. So this was the plan of Duryodhan. Now, Durvasa Muni, he agreed to this proposal and he went and he approached Yudhishthira Maharaj, who was in exile. And as expected, what had happened, the Pandavas finished their meals, Draupadi also finished her meals. Now Durvasa and his entire entourage, they came at the doorstep of Yudhishthira Maharaj in the forest. And when Yudhishthir saw them, he saw, wow, such a great sage has come. So he received the sage and his followers very, very nicely. And he was kind of a little confused because he didn't know what to do, because he knew very well that Draupadi had finished her meals. So he was a little confused and he requested Durvasa and his associates to go to the river and finish their noontime rituals. Because in the noontime, great rishis, they go and finish their rituals, they go take a dip in the river. So he said, you have your religious duties, so you go to the river, finish your rituals and come back, and I will make sure that a good feast is prepared for you. Now Durvasa Muni, along with all his disciples, he went to take bath in the river, and Draupadi, of course, she had finished her meals, and all of them were thinking, how are they going to feed these Brahmanas? So they were all very, very worried. They were put in great difficulty, because they knew if Durvasa comes back and he realizes that we have all eaten and actually there is nothing for them, then Durvasa will get angry and Durvasa will curse us. So they were very worried. So at that time, Draupadi, every time there is an opportunity, whenever devotees are put in difficulty, whenever they have an opportunity, whom do they think of? They think of the Supreme Lord in rapt attention. So this is exactly what Draupadi did. With full focus, with full attention, she took shelter of the Supreme Lord. So like this, when Draupadi was thinking of Lord Sri Krishna in that dangerous position, the all-pervading Lord, who is the Paramatma in our heart, he once knew that there is a problem. And he immediately appeared in the scene where Draupadi was, and he came to their house. Now he came to Draupadi. Krishna came to Draupadi. And he told Draupadi, I'm feeling very hungry. Can I get something to eat? So at this time, Draupadi, she was even more plunged into an ocean of misery. Because, first of all, she had to refuse Durvasa and the sages. And now she was about to refuse the Supreme Lord himself. So she was thinking, what is this now? I have to even refuse the Supreme Lord. And she began crying. She said, she explained to Krishna, Krishna, look at my situation. I don't even know what I'm going to do once Durvasa returns. And now you have come and look at my unfortunate situation. I'm even about to refuse you. There is no supply of food now. I've already finished eating. Then Krishna said, it's okay, Draupadi. You go bring the pot in which you had, that mystic pot in which the food had appeared. Go bring that pot. So Draupadi was saying, no, I've already washed it and I've already kept it clean. There's nothing there. So then Krishna said, no, 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 I know about you, you bring it. So Draupadi went and she got that pot. And Krishna, he found a small piece of vegetable sticking to that pot. And he at once picked it up and he ate it. So once he ate that little piece of food, he was completely satisfied. So then the Lord told Draupadi and Yudhishthir, now you send Bhima to the lake and ask Durvasa and his associates to come immediately and tell them that the lunch is all ready. So Yudhishthir was like, what are you saying? You're saying Bhima should go now and the food is ready? Where is the food? Nothing is ready here. Then Krishna said, no, 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 you send Bhima with his gada, everything will be fine. So Bhima, carrying his gada on his shoulders, he went to this place where Durvasa and his disciples were actually taking bath. And he told them, come on, come on, the food is ready. We are all waiting for you. Yudhishthir has made elaborate preparations. Everything is ready for you now. Now, those Brahmanas headed by Durvasa, because Krishna had already accepted a little particle of food, they all felt sumptuously fed. Their bellies were so full. They were so full and they were thinking, how are we now going to go and eat the feast that is prepared by Yudhishthir? Yudhishthir is such a great king. Now if we don't go and eat at his place, he is going to get offended. So it is better for us to run away. So Durvasa Muni and all the sages, they ran away because they felt that their tummies were so full. Why were their tummies so full? It was because Krishna, who is the Supreme Lord, was satisfied. If Krishna is satisfied, everyone else in this world is satisfied. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, he says, this incident proves that the Lord is the greatest mystic and therefore he is known as Yogeshwara. Another instruction is that every householder must offer food to the Lord and the result will be that everyone, even a company of guests numbering a 10,000 will be satisfied because of the Lord's being satisfied. That is the way of devotional service. Canto 1, chapter 15, verse number 11. So it's a very beautiful instructive purport about the story of Durvasa appearing in front of Draupadi and the Pandavas. So like this, Narada, he spoke about the Pandavas' glory. He spoke about Kunti's glory. He spoke about the glories of Draupadi, their wife. Then Narada said that Krishna, not only was he so favorable to the Pandavas and Pandavas' wife and the mother of the Pandavas, but he said Krishna also appeared very, very partial towards Vidura and Bhishma. Even though Vidura was the son of a lowborn, because we all know the birth of Vidura, he was born to the Dasi of Ambika. He was born to the Dasi of Ambika. So therefore, Vidura was considered a lowborn. But Krishna, he wanted to accept prasad only from the house of Vidura. Actually, Duryodhan first invited Krishna. When Krishna went to make a truce with the Kauravas, he was sent as a messenger by the Pandavas. So at that time, when Krishna went and visited Duryodhan to talk to him, at that time, Duryodhan, he actually, with the great pomp, he invited Krishna and he prepared a huge feast to somehow or the other make sure that Krishna takes prasadam in his house, because he wanted to somehow manipulate things and win the favor of Krishna. So he thought, if I invite Krishna and if I satisfy him with a huge feast and a very grand welcome, then Krishna will be forced to favor us. So thinking like that, he invited Krishna. But then what did Krishna do? He preferred to eat with Vidura. Vidura, he was living in a simple cottage, in a very simple place. But Krishna, he preferred to go there. And Vidura, he was not able to offer a great opulent prasadam, but he did his best. And Vidura, he offered, we know the story that when Vidura offered a banana to the Lord, actually in his devotional ecstasy, instead of giving the fruit banana, he was giving the peel. He was discarding the pulp and he was giving the peel to Krishna. And Krishna, with so much love, he was accepting it. Even the skin Krishna was eating, even the skin of the banana Krishna was eating. Because Krishna was seeing the bhakti of Vidura. Krishna didn't think, oh, I'm not getting banana, I'm only getting peel. He didn't think like that. He thought, whether it is the banana peel or it is the fruit, everything is equal to me. Because the love and devotion that Vidura is giving is what is important. So that is what Krishna was taking. He was actually extracting the bhakti and he was taking that. And Krishna also favored Bhishma. So when Bhishma was preparing to leave his body, we all know that he left his body in the presence of Krishna. Now that is something great. So Krishna was present right there and Bhishma left his body in the presence of Krishna. So, and because of this, Bhishma also attained liberation. So one may ask, why was Vidura and Bhishma so dear to Krishna? Now, the answer is, of course, they were very good devotees, so they were very close. They were very dear to Krishna. But then the answer is incomplete, because the correct answer is that both Vidura and Bhishma, they served the Pandavas so nicely by protecting them from all dangers from Duryodhan right from their childhood. Vidura and Bhishma, they earned very high esteem in the opinion of Krishna just by giving shelter and affection to the sons of Pritha during their childhood and as they were growing up. Therefore, Krishna, he considered Bhishma and Vidura as extremely special because they took care of Pritha, they took care of the Pandavas. So therefore, the Lord actually had some extra special affection towards Vidura and Bhishma. So we see from this that when we help and when we serve the devotees of the Lord, we automatically become extra specially dear to the Lord. So of course, there are many examples in scripture to exemplify this point. But one very lovely example is both Vidura and Bhishma, how they were specially favored by the Lord. Of course, they in their own merit, they were devotees. But still beyond that, because they took care of Vaishnavas, they were given extra special mercy by Krishna. Then Narada further continued. He said, yes, the Pandavas are great. The royal leaders of the Kurus like Bhishma and Vidura, they are also very glorious just like them. But it doesn't stop there. Even the common women, the women folk in Hastinapur, they are also very glorious. You know, generally speaking, the citizens of the state, they are very virtuous when the ruler is very virtuous. You know, Yadyadacharati Shreshtas, we learn in the Bhagavad Gita. But if the leaders are good, automatically the followers are also good because they are imbibing the qualities of their leader. They want to follow in the footsteps of their leader. So similarly, since Yudhishthira and the Pandavas, they were such good leaders, obviously the citizens of Hastinapur, they were also very virtuous. Everyone under the rule of Yudhishthira was actually very virtuous and learned. And it was not just the Brahmana community that was very learned, but even the simple women in their household, they were talking like great yogis. So we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the women in Hastinapur glorifying the Supreme Lord. They actually glorify the Supreme Lord in 10 verses, such beautiful verses by the simple women. They went up to the balcony of their house. Some people, they went up to the terrace. And when they saw the Lord walking on the streets of Hastinapur, when he was going, they looked at the Lord and with so much love, they glorified the Lord. So I'll just read 2 verses among the 10 verses, okay, of the women of Hastinapur. This is again in Canto 1, Chapter 10, verses 20 and 26, I will read. But when you get a chance, go through all the 10 verses, very lovely verses. You can read from Canto 1, Chapter 10, verses 20 through 30, okay. All these are verses of glorification, but I will just say 2 verses now. 1:10:20. Absorbed in the thought of the transcendental qualities of the Lord, who sung in select poetry, the ladies on the roofs of the houses of Hastinapur began to talk to him. This talk was more attractive than the hymns of the Vedas. Just see. And then verse 26. Oh, how supremely glorified is the dynasty of King Yadu, and how virtuous is the land of Mathura, where the supreme leader of all living beings, the husband of the goddess of fortune, has taken his birth and wandered in his childhood. These are the realizations of the ladies of Hastinapur. Like this, they actually glorify him in many verses. You can read those verses. The ladies in Hastinapur, they were so well learned, and their prayers to Krishna was more attractive than the hymns of the Veda. So, Pandavas, they were leader of a great community. So we can see if ordinary people were speaking like this, then we can imagine how exceptionally saintly the Pandavas would be. And there is another thing very special about the Pandavas is that, you know, we see actually in the story of Prahlad, we saw how in Prahlad's family, the only other person who was favored by Krishna other than Prahlad was actually Bali Maharaj. Okay? Then you see in the case of Hanuman, these are all the previous devotees Narada visited. You see in the case of Hanuman, Hanuman was a brahmachari. So obviously you cannot be expecting, you know, his family members. So only Hanuman got pure devotional service. In the case of Prahlad, only Bali Maharaj got pure devotional service. But look at the case of the Pandavas. Not only did Yudhishthir get, the brothers got very nice devotional service. And not only did the brothers get, the wife had pure devotional service, their mother had pure devotional service. And look at the citizens of Hastinapur. Even they were also so blessed. So like this, just like how the 5 airs, you know, we know that there are 5 airs in the body. The prana, the vayu, actually splits into 5 in the body. It is prana, apana, samana, udana, and dhyana. So there are 5 airs in the body. And these 5 airs are actually very dear to the soul. Because if the soul has to stick to the body, you need these 5 airs, right? So similarly, just like how the 5 airs are very dear to the soul, similarly, the 5 Pandavas, they were very, very dear to Krishna. And Krishna himself declares this in the Mahabharata. He says, यस्तान् द्वेष्टि स मां द्वेष्टि यस्ताननु स मामनु ऐक्यात्म्यम् आगतम् वित्ति पाण्डवैर्धर्मचारिभिः. सेइंग हूएवर हेट्स द पांडवास एक्चुअली हेट्स मी. Whoever follows in the footsteps of the Pandavas actually follows me. And I am one in spirit with the righteous Pandavas. So Krishna said in the Mahabharata, he said one more thing also. He says in the same context, when he was actually invited by Duryodhan, at that time Krishna said, one should not eat food in the house of a person who is hateful. He said, O king, you hate the Pandavas. He's telling Duryodhan, you hate the Pandavas. And for me, the Pandavas are my very life and soul. Therefore, I will not eat food in your house. So we can see in the Mahabharata itself, in two verses, Krishna says that the Pandavas are like his life and soul. He cannot be separated from the Pandavas. The Pandavas are like the five airs in the body and Krishna is like the soul. Just like how the soul cannot survive with the airs in the body, similarly, Krishna says, I cannot be without. Then Narada Muni continued. He said, O Pandavas, I'm just trying to glorify you, but it is so difficult for a person to truly understand your true sublime character. It is very difficult to understand the character of the Pandavas. Externally, they appear like great kings and they appear to be after wealth and kingdom and all that. But their real nature is very difficult to describe. Only devotees like Narada can actually dig into the real character of the Pandavas. So Narada said, in fact, the Supreme Lord Krishna, he actually just descended into this world only to please you and to spread your fame. So Narada, he finished glorifying the Pandavas like this and then he stopped. At that time, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was listening to all this. He was very quiet as Narada Muni was talking. And after Narada Muni finished, he took a deep breath and he sighed in him and he felt extremely embarrassed. He felt like Narada Muni was actually teasing him. He was so embarrassed listening to all this. And then he began to speak. He began to speak what was in his heart. And once Yudhishthira finished, the rest of the brothers spoke. And then their wife Draupadi spoke and then Queen Kunti spoke. So now we are going to see what all they said, what all they said about whether they really received the mercy of the Lord or they didn't really receive the mercy of the Lord. So Yudhishthira said, Narada, you're such an eloquent speaker. You're praising us. But seriously, in my opinion, I cannot find anywhere where Krishna has been especially merciful to us. I don't think he has shown any special favor. So if ordinary people of this world, materialistic people, they see the kind of calamities that we have gone through, they will actually lose their faith and inclination to serve Krishna in any way. This is very true. So if ordinary people, they think, oh, Pandavas are the devotees of Krishna, but the Pandavas' life is full of suffering. So that means Krishna is not very merciful. I don't think Krishna is God. This is what people will think. Because Krishna couldn't protect the Pandavas. That's what they will think, looking at the suffering that we have gone through. So when people think like that, it breaks our heart. That brings so much pain to my heart. Yudhishthira Maharaj was telling Narada. So Yudhishthira said, but you know what, Narada Muni, actually we have dedicated our life breath to Krishna. Without Krishna, we just couldn't have done anything. Krishna, truly, the truth is that Krishna, every time he was there for us. Actually, I did the Rajasuya Yajna also just to prove the fact that Krishna is especially favorable to his devotees. So therefore I begged him, this is also a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Yudhishthira Maharaj says to Krishna, he tells, dear master, please show how the fortune of the devotees and the non-devotees differ. Yudhishthir wanted to perform the sacrifice not for name and fame, but so that the entire world would understand the glories of Krishna and his devotees better. People, they tend to be strongly influenced by the example of their leaders. But the Pandavas, they fulfill their responsibilities very, very perfectly. So anyone who sees the extraordinary opulence of the Pandavas, see how the Pandavas actually regained their kingdom, see how the Pandavas were ruling in Hastinapur, just by seeing them, seeing how the Pandavas were undisputed kings, seeing that, people will get hope. Okay, Krishna is actually very merciful. So Yudhishthir told, actually when we suffered, the people in common, they were thinking that what kind of mercy is this? Is Yudhishthir Maharaj receiving any mercy at all? Is Krishna really God? They would have had all these doubts. But then specifically, we arranged the Rajasuya Yajna to prove that actually Krishna is actually very, very merciful and he's always there for us. And right after the Rajasuya Yajna, Yudhishthir became the undisputed king and he had all the opulences, and then people in the world, they appeared to be satisfied seeing this. But then Yudhishthir said, yes, we have some mercy, but then, you know what, for devotees, being in Krishna's company is actually real mercy. That is what devotees desire. But now, after we have got this throne, after Bhishma and Drona have died, what is my condition? I have been blamed for the death of so many people. And worse than that is that I don't have the association of Krishna. Every time we had troubles, Krishna used to come. Krishna was there during the Rajasuya Yajna. But now Krishna is not with us. So how can we really find happiness? Krishna is not with us on a continuous basis. We see Krishna only once in a while when he visits us for some business. Krishna is not here for a very long time. So how can we be the true recipients of the Lord's mercy? For us, that is real happiness. But Krishna is not with us. He is always with the Yadavas. The Yadavas are the true friends of Krishna. He is always living with them. He is always satisfying them. So Yudhishthir Maharaj explained to Narada that the Yadavas, they are greater devotees of Krishna and their love for Krishna is actually incomparable. So Yudhishthir reasons that the Yadavas are enjoying Krishna's company and the Pandavas don't do so all the time. So therefore, the Yadavas must be more favored. And Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata avyaktanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. So he talks about the purpose of his descent. The purpose of his descent is to, you know, annihilate the miscreants, protect the pious, protect religious duties. He came for that purpose. Don't think he came for us. And the war, everything, whatever happened in our life was to accomplish Krishna's mission of descending into this earth. Not that he came for our sake. So like this, Yudhishthir explained to Narada. Now, after Yudhishthir finished speaking, all the Pandavas were standing around Yudhishthir. So they thought they will, they also felt like talking. So immediately Bhima was the next brother. Bhima was, his nature was, in a very cool way. He was very joking, when he was listening to all this. So he looked at Narada and he said, oh Narada, what is this? You are a very good disciple of Krishna, huh? You have learnt a lot of your master's qualities. You are the perfect Sishya for your Guru. Krishna is your Guru and you are his perfect Sishya. You have learnt everything from your Guru very nicely. You know how to juggle the meaning of all the words just like your master Krishna. Krishna, he is the source of all Maya. He is the Guru of all clever deception. He's got so many different motives. Nobody can understand Krishna. And he's so unpredictable. Sometimes Krishna, he acts for his own enjoyment, for his own leela. And he, we are all a part of his leela, that's all. Sometimes he uses his wit to intentionally bewilder all his devotees. he is like that. He manufactures illusions out of curiosity. Sometimes he just plays games. How do you think we should be trusting Krishna's words? You think Krishna is very, you know, Krishna came down just for us and he favors only us? All this is not true. And you are also a perfect disciple of Krishna. You are also making fun of us. We have not received any favor from Krishna. And all this is just, you know, juggling talks, you know. The words that you are speaking is just out of fun. And there is no truth in this. So Bhima, he jokingly remarked like this. Actually, Bhima was the Narmasaka of Krishna. He was the bosom friend of Krishna. Krishna and Bhima, they shared a very sweet relationship. So here Bhima, he was just making fun, you know. He was saying, oh yeah, 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 we know how Krishna talks. He'll speak lies, he'll do this, he'll do that. He'll cheat everybody. And you have also become like him because you are his dear disciple. So like this, Bhima said. Next, Arjuna. Arjuna, he was slightly more emotional when he was hearing all this. Bhima took it as, you know, he responded in a joking way. But then Arjuna, he's the Priya Sakha. He's dearer to Krishna than his own life. So he was nearby and he was so dejected when he heard all this. He said, yes, Narada, Krishna has shown us great mercy. But him showing us great mercy has actually become a source of our sorrow. So during the war, Bhishma and others, they attacked Krishna. They pierced him with their arrows. They pierced his armor. They pierced his flesh. He tolerated all these attacks just for me, although I tried to stop him every time. Krishna tried to protect us all the time. In the battlefield, when people were attacking Krishna with arrows, they did it out of duty because they were Kshatriyas. They were thinking, chariot here, it is my duty as a Kshatriya to fight with Arjuna and his chariot here. They didn't see this is a special personality. This is Krishna. I should not attack him. They never thought like that. All the Kshatriyas in the battle, they were shooting arrows, including Bhishma Dev. Everybody was shooting arrows. And even if they had the thought that this was Krishna, he's special, how did they think of Krishna? They thought that this Krishna is actually the supreme Brahman. He doesn't feel any pain. He doesn't have any pains. So in that thought, they were attacking Krishna. But this was very painful to me. I felt so bad seeing this. And when Krishna was tolerating all this pain, I told Krishna, why are you doing this? Why are you advancing like this? Why are you going like this to go and attack Bhishma holding a chariot wheel in your hand? Why are you taking all this pains? At that time, Krishna said, no, my duty is to always be your protector. He took all the pains just for myself. You know, actually, Krishna promised never to fight, but still he took the chariot wheel. He's Chakrapani. He's the owner of the Sudarshan Chakra. If Krishna thinks with a flick of his finger, he can destroy the entire army. But then he did all this. He took all the pains just to increase my fame. That is Krishna. Just because I am his close friend, he did all this. The more I think of all these incidents, my heart is plunged into pain. I feel so miserable thinking of how Krishna had to go through all this pain. I just cannot remove this arrow of grief as I remember these details and these incidents in the war. So like this, Arjuna told, actually, you're saying Krishna is giving us mercy. Yes, he gave us mercy, no doubts. But then just that mercy has become a source of my sorrow. It brings so much pain to my heart. And actually, the truth is that when something or someone, the activities they do, brings pain to the heart of their dear ones, that means that person truly doesn't have any mercy. This is some kind of logic that Arjuna is proposing. He's saying, because Krishna has brought so much mercy unto, so much grief unto me because of thinking of how he underwent troubles for me, I feel bad. So therefore, Krishna doesn't have any mercy for me. Because how can one have mercy and also bring pain to their beloved? So this was Arjuna's argument to Narada. Then Arjuna said, Krishna spoke so much philosophy, he spoke the entire Bhagavad Gita and he made me fight. And even after I carefully try to analyze the purport of what he said, all that I feel at the end of the day is only pain. His words make me remember how he actually deceived me. No one is more dear to Krishna. I mean, no one is more dear to me than Lord Sri Krishna. And I can only think of Krishna in so many ways. But every time I think of all that has happened, I just feel more and more pain. Then Arjuna, he also gives four reasons why he trusts Krishna so much, why he loves Krishna so much. He says, Krishna is so merciful unconditionally towards us. Second, he always fulfills his promises. Third, he is the most reliable friend. And fourth, he is the Supreme Lord who can simply do anything. So my love for him can never reduce. But the more I think of it, the more I think of it, I feel so pained in my heart. I feel so much pain. And he's bringing me so much pain. Actually, we are not the recipients of the Lord's mercy. So Arjuna spoke like that. And then Nakula and Sahadev, it was their time to speak. They said, yes, Narada, you are right. Krishna helped us to perform so many things. He saved us from death. He helped us perform Ashwamedha Yajna. He expanded our fame. But still, Narada, we don't consider all this as a mercy towards us. The real mercy Krishna has given us so far is that he accepted the seat of honor during the Rajasuya Yajna. That is the greatest mercy that Krishna has actually shown to us so far. He is giving us protection. All that is, yeah, it is mercy. But the real mercy is when he accepted our worship. That was the real mercy that Krishna has ever showed. But then Krishna has now cheated us. He has left us. We don't see him anymore around. We only see him now and then when he visits Hastinapur. So Nakula and Sahadev also, like the other brothers of his, he was also saying, as long as they were with, as long as Krishna was with us, he was very merciful. So they were relating the mercy that they have received to how long Krishna was with them, just like the other Pandavas. So he said, actually, he is more merciful only to the Yadavas because he is always with the Yadavas. So like this, Nakula and Sahadev, they finished talking. And then it was time for Draupadi to talk. Draupadi, as she was listening to all her husbands speak like this, she was overwhelmed with sorrow. She was trying hard to control herself, but then she was choked up with tears and emotions. And she said, yes, Krishna is my dear friend. He is my Pranasakha. He has served me so many times. He has helped me so many times. He has helped me from so many difficult situations. And he saved me from all shame. He was responsible for killing the Kauravas. I thought he would always continue to be merciful. Actually, when my fathers and my brothers and my sons, they all died in the battle at that time, I was lamenting so uncontrollably. But then Krishna, he came and he consoled me with such sweet words. When I heard those beautiful words of Krishna, I felt somewhat calm. I felt a little better and my heart was filled with hope. But then all my hopes are now gone because I'm very unfortunate. Krishna doesn't come here often. He just comes here once in a while. So how do you say that he has given us the most mercy? We are the greatest recipients of the Lord's mercy. It's not true. So we have another, actually we are running out of time, but I wanted to talk about Pritha and then we'll stop because after this we are going to visit the Yadavas. So I'll just talk about the words of Kunti and then we'll stop. Then Pritha, with her heavy heart, she said, I have no husband. You know, there's no one to protect me. But then Krishna always comes and he protects me. In fact, he has even shown greater favor than Devaki to me. See how Kunti is saying. Kunti is saying Krishna has given us mercy. I don't have any protector. I don't even have my husband. Krishna is always there for me. Mm-hmm. In fact, he has been more merciful to me than he has been more than the mercy that he has shown to his own mother Devaki. How is that? when Devaki was imprisoned, Krishna went and released her only after several years, after all her six children were dead, right? Only after that Krishna rescued her, and Krishna rescued her only once. He didn't rescue her after every attack of Kamsa, right? So Kunti was saying, but whereas in my case, every time I had a difficulty, Krishna would come running and he would rescue me. Because Krishna knew that I don't have any other protector. Because Krishna knew that, you know, I don't have my husband, whereas Devaki, she has her husband and she has all the Vrishnis to protect her. So therefore, Krishna was more merciful to me. But somehow, the thought after you spoke, Narada, after you described all this, somehow the thought of Krishna having that extra special mercy towards me is actually not coming to my head. Because whenever I look around, now that, you know, my son has become the emperor, and I'm seeing around, all that I can hear is the mourning voices of the women who have lost their husbands in the war. And I just want to perform constant service to you, to Krishna. So she said, Vipada santuta sashva shashvat tatra tatra jagat guru bhavato darshanam yatsyad apunarbhava darshanam. I wish all that those calamities would happen again and again so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we no longer see repeated births and deaths. This is a very famous verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.25 where Kunti Maharani asks the Lord to give her more difficulties. So Kunti was explaining that Krishna has given us the kingdom and he thinks that he has given us everything and we are actually the great recipients of Krishna's mercy. But then actually we were happier when we were getting difficulties, because when we were getting difficulties, we could take shelter of the Lord. But now that my son has become the emperor and everything is over, Krishna has left us and he has gone to Dwarka. So therefore, I am not the recipient of the Lord's mercy. I have now given up all hope, and I think the only real mercy he can hereafter give me is my death. I want to die fast so that I can always be with him. This is what Kunti said. She said, actually, at the present moment, whatever you are saying, I am not able to digest it. I don't have any mercy. Truly, the only mercy I can hereafter get is my death, so that I can always be with him. Then Kunti said, actually Krishna, he is very strongly attached to the Yadus. The Yadavas are more dear to him than us. Therefore, Narada, you go and see the Yadavas. Just go see for yourself. Of course, you have visited the Yadavas in the past. But still, you now after seeing us, you now go and see the Yadavas. And see what wonderful devotees the Yadavas are. They are always in an ocean of happiness. They are always keeping Krishna in their association. The Yadavas are always absorbed in ecstasy. So this time, Narada, you go and see the ecstasy of the Yadavas and you also become absorbed in their company. Become ecstatic in their company. So like this, Kunti finished saying. And who's talking the Brihad Bhagavatamrita right now? It is Parikshit telling his mother this story. So therefore, Parikshit, who was narrating the story, told his mother Uttara, my dear mother, the wife of the Yadavendra's nephew. Who's the wife of the Yadavendra's nephew? Yadavendra is Krishna. Krishna's nephew is Abhimanyu, because Abhimanyu is the son of Subhadra. Abhimanyu's wife is Uttara, right? So therefore, Parikshit told his mother, oh my dear mother, the wife of the Lord of Yadavendra's nephew, Narada Muni, after he heard all this from your, from your father's-in-law and their mother and their wife, he proceeded further to go and see the most fortunate Yadavas. So we'll see about the Yadavas in our next session, and I'll stop here. And sorry for the beginning part, because I didn't do the YouTube and the conferencing properly. So I'm sorry about that, and sorry for any mistakes while speaking. If there are any questions, comments, realizations, go ahead. Hare Krishna.
हरे कृष्ण प्रतिभा सिंह माता जी, वेरी वेरी वंडरफुल नरेशन अबाउट द पांडवस मदर कुंती. आई डोंट रिमेम्बर बट द्रौपदी, डिड द्रौपदी स्पीक? यस, आई डोंट नो.
Yeah, she said he's Pranasaka and he saved me from so many calamities.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. Thank you. Really, really wonderful.
Thank you, Kamodaki Mataji.
You can just go on and can hear. Really wonderful. We have to wait. It's very difficult to hear Krishna. Thank you very much.
All glories to your intense hearing, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. This is Padmasakhi. Mataji, thank you so much. I never read this book before, neither heard. But since the time I started hearing your session, seriously to speak, I am just in a trance till you finish. Thank you for narrating so nicely, Mataji. And I just pray that one day even I can really imbibe the stories, the meanings, everything, like the way you are understanding and explaining so nicely, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Padmasakhi Mataji. It is so wonderful to hear from you. And you are a big inspiration for many of us. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming. And we always think of you and we always pray for you. Thank you, Mataji.
हरे कृष्ण प्रीति विलासिनी गोपी, जय हो गोपीनाथ की, श्री प्रभुपाद श्री गुरुदेव की जय, भक्त रामायण की जय. माता जी, हाउ नाइसली यू नरेटिंग द कथास दैट इट्स टच टू हार्ट, बिकॉज यू आर सो प्योर सॉल दैट यू आर लाइक फ्रॉम कोर ऑफ हार्ट यू आर एक्सप्लेनिंग द कथा. माता जी, यस, वी हियरिंग सो मेनी टाइम बट वी जस्ट लर्न एंड लर्न एंड लर्न एंड लर्न. माता जी, प्रे फॉर अस एंड वी आर प्रेइंग फॉर यू दैट वी गेट every Saturday and in Sisi Bhagavatam class, Sisi Chaitanya Charitamrita class, Brihad Ramayana, we get your strong association and we will preach at least 2-3 DOT. Pray for us, Mataji. Then what pranam, how nicely you are explaining the Vidura story, Draupadi Rani story, Naraji sincerity. Thank you very much, Mataji. Then what pranam, Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev ki jai. Pray for us.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Vrinda Gopika, Mataji. It's all your purity, Mataji. You're an amazing devotee. That's why you always see good in everyone. Thank you, Mataji.
You never take credit, Mataji. But I know that special mercy of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, you are explaining and you are giving your strong assistance to all of us. Thank you very much, Mataji.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hey, don't shout, Trinda, I have to talk.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much for wonderful class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Vinaya Mataji, for coming. Thank you for your association. Thank you, Vrinda. Thank you, Vrinda baby, for your association.
Thank you, Mataji. Very nice class.
Jai Priti Vilasini.
Jai Vrinda Gopi.
Thank you.
Mataji, Pandavas, like they are Pancha Pranas, like they are very near to soul, like Pancha Pranas are very near to soul. The same way, very near and near to Krishna. So, can you speak something more on that, Mataji?
Your question is, whether, you know, how they are close to the Lord or
about pancha pranas.
About the pancha pranas?
Yeah.
Okay. The pancha pranas are the five airs. Like as we inhale, the air works in five directions. This is there in Srila Prabhupada's purport in Bhagavad Gita as well. It talks about the five airs, which is the inhaling air that goes inward, prana, and then apana is the downward air that helps us with evacuation or even during childbirth, you know. You need that air that pushes, right? So that is apana. And then I think vyana, samana are again, one comes from the heart. It helps in circulation. And the other air, I forgot. Okay. So basically, they work in different directions to accomplish the bodily functions of this body as you inhale the air in. It's actually split into fine yoga in the yogas, you know, the what is that, the method of Ashtanga yoga or you know, this yoga sutras and all that. In that they talk about these five pranas and how they work. Even in Ayurveda they talk about that. And if you see most of the breathing exercises in different yoga groups that they teach is actually balancing out these five pranas. And when these five are perfectly balanced, I think the soul, they are able to give up the body. You know, there are some methodologies in Yoga Sutras to control these five airs and how to balance them and all that. Very similar to how they raise the Kundalini. Similarly, they give methodologies to balance these five airs inside the body. So all these breathing exercises that you don't know this is right from pranayam, all that is actually a part of controlling these five airs. So that is how it is actually very important, because for the soul to stay in the body, the external thing is the breathing. Actually, the physical part of what we do is the breathing. It is said everyone is born with a certain number of breaths, right? In according to our scriptures, it is the breathing that actually holds the person, you know, inside the body. And once the number of breaths are done, then the soul leaves the body. So yeah, breathing is given a lot of importance. That's how it is spoken about. Is that what you asked?
Yeah, thank you. Information, nice class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Divya Manjari Mataji, for your very nice association. Thanks for coming on the call and giving, you know, your thoughts on the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Okay, so I think, yeah, if no one else has any questions or comments, we can end the call here. And thank you so much for joining and giving us your association. We will continue from Narada visiting the Yadavas in our next session. And the story is going to get more and more intense. So we have seen different kinds of devotees right from the beginning, right from the Narada's visit to the Brahmana in Prayag. And then the king in South India, we saw Indra, we saw Brahma, we saw Lord Shiva, and we saw so many of them, actually, Hanuman, Pandava, so many of them. So now we are going to get into more intense discussion of love of God, which will come once we enter the realm of the Yadavas. So thank you all so much for your continued association and joining all the sessions. We'll end the call. Vansha Kalpataruvyascha
Kripa Sindhu Bhivaja
Pratidhanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah. Ananda Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Ki Jai. Thank you for your deep devotional association, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam Hare Krishna.
Dandavat Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Shri Shri Bhadramrata Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai. Thank you, Vrinda. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Krishna. Thank you, Navani Mataji. Thank you, Vinaya Mataji. Hare Krishna.